Welcome, everybody, to the 15 Years Later podcast. My name is Mike Wilden, alongside, as always, the one and only Tim Larson. This is a big one today. How you doing, Tim?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Happy holidays, everybody. We got past Christmas all right, and I believe this is coming out on New Year's Day, so let us be the first to say Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. Hope your 2025 is either even better than your 2024 or a lot better than your 2024 if you're if it wasn't that great. Either way, we hope that it's an improvement.
Yeah. And just on the basis of what we've done here at 15 Years Later over the past year, we hope you go and find somebody that was a positive influence earlier in your life and reconnect with them and let them know that they were a champion for you in one way or another.
Yeah, can't recommend that highly enough. After the
Yeah.
last year, it's pretty crazy to think we've been doing this for the full year, and we're gonna wrap up at about the year point. It's pretty cool. It's been a good ride. How are your holidays?
Pretty good. I like Nikki and I just kind of hung around at home by ourselves. I just got back. I just drove in today from visiting the family in Michigan. So we had Christmas here, and then a couple days later, I drove in to see him, cooked dinner for everybody, and had a good time. Pretty terrifying moments. Scariest 10 minutes of my life so far in 2024. My dad asked if he could drive the Bronco. He was like, "Oh, I got to get behind the wheel and drive that." So it's a stick shift. He's an 80-year-old man, and he's slowing down a little bit, right? And he's got a circulation issue with his feet, and he's trying to figure that out. He's going through some medication type stuff to exercise to get that right. But his feet don't always go where they're supposed to go, and I've got this man driving my brand new stick shift vehicle around the neighborhood.
This sounds like a great situation.
Well, and it, you know, now that I think about it, after I'm home and safe, he probably felt the exact same way when he was teaching me how to drive a stick shift when I was 15 or 16. So
There you go.
we're
Maybe it's
back
kind of a
to,
full circle moment.
yeah, close the circle there. I was nervous. He was making some decisions to pull out in front of traffic, and I was like, "You don't know the okay, yep, go ahead." And his foot would hit the wrong part every now and then. He would go to press the brake. And his foot would slip over and hit the gas and rev the engine. And I was just glad that the clutch was in while he was doing that so the car didn't move. And he didn't notice what the noise was right away. I was like, "Dad, the engine's revving because your foot's on the gas. Please get out of the car."
Question for you. Are there any areas around where your parents live of roads that are not used very much, like back roads type thing?
Nope. It was
Ah,
all congested traffic. And we
I
took
see.
like a 5-minute ride to a jeweler. He wanted to get a battery for a watch. And we got there and he got his batteries and we're walking back to the Bronco. And I was like, "So, should I drive?" Or he was like, No, there's some stuff I want to try." And I thought, "Okay, I'm definitely, this is going to be a bad day." It worked out though. It worked out.
Good.
So I'm
That's
glad
good.
dad got to get behind the wheel and drive a stick shift for the first time in a long time. And we did not damage my vehicle or anyone else's for that matter.
It's a plus. Well, hey, let's get right into this.
Yeah,
You know,
let's do it.
this is the big one, I think, for
It's the
you on
favorite.
your side.
We've talked before about you know, a couple of the things you've written that they were your favorite. The lion comes up as something that you said, "I'm really proud of this one. This is probably the best one I've written." I'm certainly most connected to this one about my grandfather. This is, let's see, would it be blog episode 21? Is that where we're at? Blog episode 21.
Yes.
It's called Timbo, which was his nickname for me when I was a kid. And it kind of, since we're talking about our origins of baseball, I can't not bring up the relationship I had with my grandpa as a young kid and why I love baseball. So that's what the blog episode's about.
All right, well, let's get right into it.
All right.
All right, so let's talk about this then. Let's talk about episode 21, Timbo, which, as you said in the blog, is a nickname you're not comfortable with anybody using other than your grandpa.
That is correct. I never have been. I don't know why. I felt like that's a no-no. I don't go by that name. However, before we get into it, we should introduce that my cousin Brian has come here to join us. I asked Brian a while ago if he would be here for this podcast because he's got memories of my grandfather also. Now, technically, he's my grandfather on my mother's side, and Brian, we usually refer to him as my cousin on my father's side, but our family tree has some branches that align. So we like telling this story. Our brothers, that's a different story altogether. Our fathers married cousins. So at Brian's mother and father's wedding, my dad was there for his brother, and he met my mom, who was there for her cousin, and they started dating. So Brian, through the Larson side of things, wouldn't know my grandfather. However, through our mother's side, he did run into him from time to time. So we brought Brian in here to talk. So welcome to the show, Brian. Good to see you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Feel honored to be here to talk about Grandpa Eddie.
Glad to have you. Our second return guest.
Yep.
Yeah,
And
one of only two.
funny that right before we hit record, we could not recall which episode he was on. And I was a little embarrassed to bring that up, like waiting for you to go, Tim asked, I was blah, blah, blah. And Brian didn't remember it either. And we had to go look it up, see
It
about
was
that.
episode 11, so the count is 3 and 2.
Yeah, I think like 2 weeks into it. You reached out to me and go, hey, just so you know, actually, I think it was a preemptive. I'm about to have Dan Sears on, so I want you to
I'm going to hear it from you
know.
that you haven't been invited. So, yes, that's exactly what
So
happened.
you're going to be on when we talk about Grandpa Eddie.
It's funnier that we don't remember which one it is, actually. We'll roll with that.
Oh, we'll make it up. And I have no doubt. Some of the stuff when I listen to you guys talk on these, it's like Tim doesn't remember a fucking thing anymore. I, after you telling the story of tripping your mom and then finding out it's not true, I doubt everything you say.
Well, it's good that I gave you a
I'm kind
reason
of
to
with him
start
on
doubting. I think you doubt it anyway, but I'm just backing it up at this point.
that.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, Brian. And Mike, take it away. What are we going to talk about with Timbo here?
Well, I kind of just wanted to mention real quick before we really get into it, you know. When we were editing this, we've talked about the creative process before and how much fun and like how, you know, great of an experience it is when we're actually like going through this with a fine-tooth comb and editing it. I think this was probably the best of those types of experiences. I mean, A, the work that we did on this, and B, just, I mean, it was just fun. And you know, I know it was very emotional for you going through it, which was a change, you know, for just kind of a usual dynamic between the two of us. But like it was you were being very vulnerable with this, and props to you on that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you have anything else to say about that, but I really enjoyed editing this one with you. Because it was, yeah, that was a blast.
Well, I think both of us realize how important this one is, like to me and to the project, rooted in the origins of loving baseball. But like obviously it's an emotional connection for me and a grandfather who passed away a while ago. But I felt like both of us wanted to edit the hell out of this. Like we didn't want to leave any stones unturned. We wanted to make sure that it was perfect, you know? And
Right.
I thought we did a really good job with that.
While at the same time not changing the overall, you know, feel of what this was. There were some times where, you know, one of us is thinking, hey, should we change something? And we'd be like, no, you know what? This is what this story is. Let's, you know.
And it was fun because I did a lot of side stories like, oh yeah, by the way, I didn't write this, but this kind of thing happened. So we were reminiscing a lot about me spending time with my grandfather, and I remember saying at the end, I was like, how the hell did you get through the thing with your dad? Because I was struggling to get through just even talking about it
Yeah.
at some points.
I thought about that after hours after you asked me that. I think it was just because I had already been dealing with it for a while. So I was kind of, it was more cathartic for me than anything. All right. So at the beginning of this, Brian, I don't know, do you remember the childhood home that Tim describes in this? Were you ever over there?
His childhood home?
Yeah.
Yes, they lived in Dearborn Heights on Centralia. And we would, actually do family gatherings over there. I remember as a group of Larsons, we got together and the kids would play together. And
Did you ever go to his grandparents' house then?
no, I
Didn't.
don't recall going to his grandparents'
Okay. Right.
house.
Right. All right.
But I do know the Detroit area. I know kind of where they were, and but yeah, there was never a chance for me to get over there that I recall.
Well, we'll come back to you on your side of your childhood experience with Tim's grandpa here. But Tim, real quick, first you describe the house that they're in wonderful detail. I love the sentence that it was a ruined shadow of its former vibrancy. That's just such a great line. But also just, I mean, the yellow is the center is of a daisy and the lilac bush and the brick walkway and everything. Just describing walking in there. Is there anything else you can tell us about your grandparents' home when you were a kid?
Well, the only reason, I mean, going to your grandparents' house as a kid is something special, right? Grandparents generally love to see their grandkids, and so there's this real good feeling when you get there. That's what it was for me. It's just a real good feeling to get there. So, I loved everything about the house because my grandparents were there. So, I remember it really, really well. It wasn't very large, and yeah, it's in an area of Detroit that you just kind of for a long time wouldn't want to go around at all. So they were ready to move when he retired because the neighborhood had, declined quite a bit over the years. But yeah, just inside the house, I mean, grandma, she had retired and she would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning anyway, because she was just used to that. And she smoked a lot of cigarettes. She would just sit at the kitchen table and smoke a cigarette and wait for the sun to come up, I guess. I don't know. So whenever I woke up, I'd come out and there's grandma sitting at the table smoking a cigarette. And it was just, what she did. It was just what they did. And you just kind of accept it. And they're just awesome. Like, that's all you know as a kid is your grandparents are awesome. So everything they do is awesome. Made me want to smoke cigarettes, which I did not do.
Mine was the opposite because I, being the son of a nurse, I knew cigarettes are bad for you because my mom drove that so, so hard into my head. And so I tried encouraging my grandmother, who had been smoking for God knows how long, like, hey, you shouldn't do that. And so she would try and, go outside and sneak around and smoke. And there was one time where, like, I was kind of chasing her around the car. She didn't want to let me see that she was smoking.
That's funny.
But yeah.
Well, so I have an update on the house, by the way. Let me just interject
Okay.
this right here. After, we edited this and it came out just for shits and giggles, I went to the Google map to look at it again, and the house is making a comeback. Somebody
Really?
has put some effort into that house. And I'm really happy to report that the picture that I had from before, there literally wasn't a front door on it. There was spray paint on it. Had been painted a different color, and that was falling apart. The garage is gone. That's leveled. But and like I write, there's just weeds. It's overgrown. On that street, there's probably five or six houses that have been completely removed, and it's a lot with just lawn on it. But I looked the other day and there is a brand new front porch on it. They have re-sided it. There's an actual door, which is, that's a good thing for a house.
Plus.
And then seeing around back, it looks like they've put an addition on the back. So somebody's putting some effort and love into that house. And I'm very happy to say that. So I was
That's
wrong,
fantastic. It's
assuming by now it would have been leveled. And I'm happy to know that I was wrong.
Hey
From what
Tim,
I've heard, it sounds like Detroit's making a little bit of a comeback.
yeah, for sure.
Anyway, so it's good that it's kind of part of that, I suppose.
Where exactly was the house or main streets that it was near?
So it's right on 96 and Outer Drive.
Okay.
It's like 2 blocks from that intersection.
Also throw this in before the part where you talk about the maps, but so fun fact, my grandma that I mentioned there, since you mentioned your grandma had an electric organ, mine did too. I did not learn how to play from her, but I always enjoyed, hearing her play. She was pretty good
Yeah,
at it.
that's great.
That was kind of a fun, yet another little connection there. So this transitions nicely. At first, you're kind of just talking about the house, and you're kind of going back and forth comparing, like, this is what it looks like now, or what it looked like a little before now, as we just found out. And what it was like then. And that kind of back and forth transitions into, all right, now come back in time to what I remember with it. And then it's more of a point of view story from, little Tim with his, his big goofy smile and little legs. Walk us through that a little bit. Just like what would you do before we get into really the meat of what this is? What else would you do when you were over there?
Frequently, I had like sleepovers. Like, mom and dad had dropped me off, and I'd stay there for the weekend, which, in reflecting, I always thought was because I wanted to go there, but they were probably tired of me. I was a very hyper kid. I bet my parents were like, drop him off. Yes, drop him off. But, I say in the story that grandpa would take me everywhere he goes. Like, he would just have errands to run, and he would throw me in the car and go to the bank and take money out from the bank. And then we go to the grocery store and buy a couple of things that he knows that I would like. I think he did that on purpose so we'd have something to do right away and somewhere to go instead of doing that stuff ahead of time. And I loved it. Like, I loved getting in the car and riding around with grandpa and just, God, he would, anything he talked about, I just assumed he was an expert and a genius. You know what I mean? And so I remember going into the bank specifically. He would start talking to the guy, the bank teller, and explain to him, oh, you should see this one play ball. He's a great ball player. And now I'm thinking to myself, he probably annoyed the shit out of everybody he talked to. Like, here's your money, go away. But I loved it, So that was what it was for me more than anything, was just those kind of interactions. We watched a lot of WWF wrestling. Grandpa loved when
Nice.
wrestling came on. This was just before Hulk Hogan hit the scene. We're talking way back. Iron Sheik and Greg Valentine was pretty early. We enjoyed doing that. We got baseball cards and went over the baseball cards. Grandma was kind of off to the side a bit. I loved grandma. I loved hanging out with her, but it was really about visiting grandpa. So playing with the trains in the garage and stuff like that was great.
We're gonna have to have a conversation after we're done recording at some point about that that wrestling that you were watching.
Camel clutch, Iron Sheik with a camel clutch.
Speaking of the garage, so we go into the garage. Great imagery. I love just the description of the cabinet with the silver handle and the the pop of the magnet. I mean, I can picture all of that just very, very clearly when I read this part. First of all, before we go on, what are jarts?
What are jarts? Brian, you got this one? You want to take this one?
Absolutely. Jarts was a fun game that basically now is banned. They don't make them anymore. It was a, we'll call it about an 18-inch plastic giant dart. And at the end was a metal
A metal spike.
point. And you threw a circle on the ground and you threw it like horseshoes, but
It
you
was.
threw this, lawn dart. And I don't know why they didn't call it larts because it's a lawn dart, but they called
Right.
it jarts.
Yeah.
And anybody who had a older brother, at some point you were having a battle and throwing the jarts
That's
at
correct.
each
At
other
each other.
and
Yes.
trying to stab each other.
Or throwing it as high in the air as you could to see where it would land. And as a kid with not the best agility, it could hit the house or the garage or your sister.
Yeah, nowadays they make them, but the end is plastic and it's
It's
probably
round.
a weighted ball that has
Right.
got a plastic coating on it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Charts. That's a
Good
60s
fun.
and 70s specialty right there. Charts.
It sounds like it from that description, honestly. All right, well let's get into what we're really here for. Because the other thing in that garage are the orange baseballs and yellow softballs, which
Yeah,
are
absolutely.
only for playing catch. You never hit those with a
You
bat.
do not hit those with a bat. That's a rule.
So did your grandpa ever explain that rule, or was it just kind of
No. Nope. All I know is you're not allowed to hit it with a bat. Like, you pick it up and he would just tell you right away, do not hit that with a bat. I think if I'm going to speculate here, he's out just, buying softballs or baseballs at one point, and he sees that there's an orange one, and he's like, "That's special. I'm not going to hit that with a bat. It's just for playing catch." And it just turned into, I mean, more than a rule, like a commandment at the house. You will not hit this with a bat. And so they were yellow softballs and orange baseballs. And that was the rule. And it was, what a great rule. Like it made it just such a cool thing, like a special thing. You're just, like I say, you're in a grassy strip in Detroit just playing catch with your grandpa, but there's this very special rule. And I don't think he did that on purpose, but that was the effect of it, for sure. Now, Brian and I have played catch, and that rule has come into play. Did you know that rule, or did I introduce that rule when we were in our 20s?
You introduced it.
Okay.
We went to we started playing softball together in a couple of leagues, and we lived together at Naudette, and we went to go out back and go play catch. And Tim was like, "Well, do you have a yellow softball?" It's like
That's true.
me being me, I was like, "Well, I do." "Oh, you don't know Grandpa Eddie's rule." And Tim explained it to me. So from that day forward, we never played catch again, with even warming up before games. And there were some of the leagues we were in that it was a white softball league, because nowadays everything's yellow softball for, we can't
Girls.
have anything
Right.
that's gonna, possibly be a safety hazard. So, yeah, but I always kept a yellow softball in my bag. So if Tim was there and we were warming up before the games, we always played catch with a yellow softball.
We actually took the rule a little further. It wasn't just that if you have a yellow softball, you don't hit with a bat. We turned it into, I'm not playing catch unless I have a yellow softball. Like we took the rule further than it was intended.
As
Sounds all
Larsons
right.
often do.
Yes.
This is true. I have learned this over the last couple of years. Yeah, Brian, you just referred to him as Grandpa Eddie. We had you on here for a reason. So what's your experience growing up with him?
I didn't have very many. He was always great to me. It didn't really know me that well. I was his niece's son. And that's, we were at a party at his sister Aunt Barbara's house. And she lived in a open, she had a barn. She didn't have really animals or anything, but I don't remember what party it was. And so she had borrowed a horse from one of her neighbors, is how I kind of remember it. And I had never been near a large animal in my life, so I was terrified. And I call him Grandpa Eddie. But yeah, Grandpa Eddie, he was like, "It's your turn, get on the horse," kind of thing. And I'm like, "Nope, I'm good." And he was like, "I'll be with you." And he put me on the horse and stood next to me, and we walked around, and he made sure I, one, didn't fall, and two, was comfortable. That was a very strong moment as a young kid and an older male who I knew I was family and had respect for on that aspect of it, just being a family member. But some of our other adult male family members
Role models.
don't earn that
Right.
respect
Right.
as quickly as Grandpa Eddie did immediately with me.
From everything I've heard, the more time goes on, it sure sounds like it.
We will not name names.
Have
We've no name naming
have
here.
on your podcast, we won't name names.
Have you been on a horse since then, Brian?
I have not. They're terrifying beasts.
They are very large, strong, and can be dangerous animals if you're not careful, for sure.
You do not play catch without a yellow softball, and you do not get on a horse without a Grandpa Eddie there to help you out.
That's
funny story. Fast forward to me in my young 40s dating a girl who had a horse, and we went to the stable, and she was like, "Oh, I got to go out there," and just walking around this it was winter time, so it was inside a barn and stuff. And she was like, "Oh, do you want to get on the horse?" I'm like, "Grandpa Eddie's not here." Had no idea what I was talking about, but that's exactly what I said to her.
There you go. Yeah.
Perfect. Tim, getting back to grandson visiting a grandparent's home, playing catch with your grandpa. I love the description of that too. Just the rule. All you have to do, follow through when you throw and keep your eye on the ball when you catch.
Pretty simple game.
But what other tips did he give you as far as playing baseball? Because I know he taught you a lot about it.
Oh yeah, I mean it was constant. Like I and it was the way he liked to teach people how to do things was just kind of react to what was going on. Maybe he threw a ball and it was gonna hit the ground, and the way I went to catch it wasn't how you catch a ground ball. He would say, "Nope, stop. Here's what you have to do. You have to get around, have the ball bounce right in the center of you, get your glove beneath the ball," and then he would throw me 5 ground balls in a row. Like that's what he would do. He would throw balls over my head and teach me how to spot where the ball was going to be, turn and run and get to your spot, track the ball, all those things. We would accidentally see where I wasn't good at something, and he would just explain it and then repeat it, and then I would just get better at it. I mean, you can't do better than that.
Awesome. How many times did he pull you from a game?
I only remember the once. But I'm sure it happened a couple times. But he started walking out to the mound after 2 guys got a hit, and I was like, "Oh, you better not take me out of this game. You better not take me out of this game." And he just put his hand out, like, "Give me the ball." And I was like, "Here's the ball. I gotta go." But I mean, that was the cool thing. He was the coach, And Brian is talking about Grandpa Eddie. When he coached that team, he had every single kid call him Grandpa. That's just what he
Really?
did. Yeah. And when he showed up and the kids started to get used to that, I told the other coach, I was like, "Just so you know, he's hard of hearing. So when the other kids ask him a question like Grandpa this, Grandpa that, they're gonna have to scream. He's not gonna hear unless they scream, And this one time, one kid called him at home and said, "Hey, Grandpa," his name happened to be Jimmy. He's like, "Hey, Grandpa, it's Jimmy. I was hoping I could start the game. I'd like to start a game." And so Grandpa let him start a game, and it went well. And so I called my own grandfather and said, "Hey, it's Timmy. I was hoping to start a game." This is early on in the season, whatever. And he's like, "Which Timmy is this?" And I was like, "Okay, you can't be the coach of the team anymore, because when I call and I say I'm Timmy, you better know who I am." You know what I mean? But again, that fits with Brian's story. Like, he just liked helping kids out and doing stuff like that. He was just it was a love of his. He just enjoyed doing it.
Well, like you said, that strong male presence. I mean, you should have said, "Hey, it's Timbo,"
I should have.
for the record.
Yep. I
That's
probably did.
why.
I probably did. Timmy who? Hey, it's Timbo, and you better know what that means.
And for everyone listening, Tim is not lying about the fact there is only one person who can call him Timbo,
That is correct. Yeah.
because we talked during the whole explanation of the yellow softball. He's like, "Oh, my grandpa always called me Timbo," and I was like, "Oh, Timbo, I like that. Hey, okay, Timbo." And he was like, "Fuck you, you're not allowed to do that." And I was like,
Didn't
"Okay."
even remember that. That's
Yeah.
funny.
Yep.
That
It was made clear to me immediately. You don't get to do that. And it was like, and it's not a lack of, love between cousins or anything. It was just that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's
And
reserved.
completely
Yeah.
respected it.
That's a retired jersey number right there. That's what that is.
Yeah. It's same reason I don't let anybody call me Mikey. Well, it's not the same reason, but it's a similar thing where it's like I do not really care what people call me as long as it's not Mikey. So sometimes somebody will try and it's like, "Ah, hey, Mikey," and they kind of get that look on their face like they're trying to get away with it, and I'm like, "You get one. Otherwise, no, that's not one." But that one's not special, like Timbo would be.
Mike, I'm going to help you out for a future, Mike. That was a really bad idea to tell Brian that.
Yeah.
That's going to come back around sooner or later. That's
Have you learned
you
nothing?
got to put up a defense when you're having these conversations with Brian.
That's not, I know, but it's
You
that
recall he
I
sang the Mike Knows a Story song to you one time.
right, and I'm gonna slap him for it later. So here's the thing. This is a passion project for us, and so for me it was kind of like, all right, well, Brian's gonna know this versus it's for the story here, and the story took precedent, so I sacrificed that knowledge.
Oh, I love that commitment. Love it.
But yeah, there's going to be a few fuck yous in your future, I'm sure,
Yeah.
Brian.
Guaranteed.
Yep.
Not new.
So, getting back to this here. We move from when you're childhood up to when you're a little bit older into Northern Michigan, still playing catch, not, for as long. There's a lot of heart behind all of this.
Sure. Yes.
And, when you and I were editing this, there were a few times when you kind of, if you don't mind me saying, you kind of teared up. You
Yeah.
got this is an emotional one for you. And what was it that he would always say after you guys were done playing catch?
Well, it was you still got it, buddy. And it didn't necessarily need to be the close of the session of playing catch. If you threw one really well and it was right down the middle and the glove popped, he would kind of give you one of those nods, like, "Oh, you still got it," you know, that kind of thing. He also would say things like, if you threw one and he had to reach to go get it, he would congratulate himself in a similar manner and say, "I still got it, ain't I?" You know, so it wasn't always just about giving to somebody else, you know. He would take it for himself sometimes too,
Well,
but yeah, that was just great.
it for on a personal level, for me, it was pretty cool kind of seeing, because that's not really, you don't get emotional about a lot of stuff,
Yeah.
at least around me. So that was kind of cool for me to be able to see that side of you when you're really, remembering that. But that being said, you also mentioned that, in later years in Northern Michigan, and at the beginning of the story, you mentioned that he taught you, how to do this, how to do that. First of all, did you get any good fishing tips from him?
That was so much fun. I've never really spent time fishing anywhere else. There's a lake that my parents took us to, a campground, and you could stand on the shore and fish on that lake with a bobber and a worm. You know what I mean? But we would go out in a boat on a lake out there, and we would troll the whole time and catch much bigger fish. So he had different lures, and he would show you how they kind of went in the water. And what kind of fish it would attract. And so when we were going to a certain part of the lake, he would be like, "This is the kind of fish that bites over here, so you want to throw this lure in here." So he was pretty passionate about that. And he would cook, or I should say grandma would cook whatever he would catch. So they always had fish in the freezer. And so I don't know, that's kind of cool. I don't really think I would ever do that. I don't like seafood anyway, but I wouldn't get very excited about catching what you're eating, but I think he really enjoyed that. And so I'd get to go out with him, and just spending that time with grandpa in the boat driving around the lake was worth it itself, whether we caught anything. But we would catch, mostly it was northern pike we would get out of that lake, and they fight pretty hard. And so again, just like I was saying with baseball, you'd get a fish on the line and you'd start to, you know, reel it in or whatever, and he was really good about saying, "Don't do it like that. You got to do this, give it a little space, then pull it a little bit, and then, you know, reel it in." Because as a kid, you don't know what you're doing. It's all stupid kid instinct when you start doing stuff. And he was just really good at guiding you through how to do things correctly. And so that was always a great time.
That's such a grandpa quality.
Now, on the other side of this, he also had a tendency to do stupid things. And I know I wrote in there, like, how to laugh at yourself when you do stupid things. He wasn't an expert at backing the boat on the trailer into the load in dock area. There's like a ramp that goes into the lake, and you back the trailer in basically until the boat starts to float, and then you disconnect it. Somebody holds the boat, and you get in the car and you pull the trailer out. Well, we did that one time, and he forgot to put the plugs back in. So there are plugs in the bottom of the boat that drain water out. So if you're out and you get a lot of water in the boat, once it's out and it's on the trailer, you take these plugs out and it drains. He forgot to put the plugs back in. And so he got that boat in. He pulled the trailer out. And I'm standing there holding on to the boat. And I'm like, "Grandpa, there's water in the boat." And it's starting to, the water's coming up to, you know, a good 2, 3 inches. And then, like, tackle boxes started floating. I was like, "Grandpa, we got a problem here." And when something went badly, he swore worse than anybody I've ever seen. And it was loud. You know, he was kind of half deaf, so he's just yelling the F word, and, you know, I'm some creative, really bad words that a 10-year-old boy probably shouldn't be hearing. And then I get
It
to
explains
watch,
a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Then I get to watch old grandpa running across the parking lot to go get his truck and then back the thing up as there's more and more water getting into the boat. And then now other guys are laughing at us, right? They're waiting to put their boat in. So the humility that he showed with stuff like that was pretty funny because he'd swear, he'd get angry, he'd fix it. And then after, while we're riding home or we're out in the boat, he would laugh at it the whole time. He's like, I can't believe that I forgot to put the fucking plugs back in. We look so stupid. I mean, he was just really good about that.
That's very, I found for me that's a very important skill to have, is being able to laugh at yourself about stuff. That's fantastic. What else can you tell me about Grandpa Eddie's personality?
He was loud. Like, maybe that doesn't come across in the writing, but like I said, because he couldn't hear very well, he didn't know how loud he was. So he boomed and bellowed everywhere he went. When I would visit him in northern Michigan, I'd go up and stay for like a week during the summer. I think at one point it was like 2 weeks. So this is when I'm like 10, 11, 12. Perfect time of your life to go spend a week with your grandfather in the summer in the woods and stuff. But if he needed my attention for something, like we were going to go to the gas station, and sometimes he liked to buy instant lottery tickets, and we would scratch him off. And if we won, we'd get in the car and go to another place and buy some more. And he wanted to run the luck as far as it would go. And it was like a little adventure for the day, you know, and we loved it. Just get in the car and go do some stuff. Maybe we'll see some deer on the side of the road while we're going. But anyway, if I'm outside playing and he wanted to go, he basically would just open up the door and bellow Timbo as loud as he could for five houses up and down the street to hear. Eddie needs to get in the car with Timmy and take him somewhere. But you hear it, you come running. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want him to just keep yelling. So you'd go real quick. He went with us to a bingo night at our church once before they moved away. And when he got bingo, everybody knew it. It was a little embarrassing. So he was like that. You know, he was just a very loud personality. And he said whatever was on his mind, and sometimes it was embarrassing, but he was pretty fun loving. If something went wrong, he would swear about it a lot, but he was a pretty fun loving guy. He liked talking to people.
Brian, do you have any anything to add to that?
Not from my point of view, but I did reach out to my mother before
Oh,
coming on
wow.
here, and I like explained to her what we were doing, and I said, you know, obviously you've been reading Tim's blog and listening to his podcast,
Word
and
after word, right?
she said, Tim who? So, no,
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I explained to her what we were doing, and I said, can you give me just a Grandpa Eddie story? And she told me about a story. Because again, our mothers were cousins who were close. The families were close. So they went on vacations together. They did stuff together. They spent nights at each other's house. And my mom, as she recalls, maybe 6 or 7 years old, 2 in the morning, she wakes up and is just terrified at their house and just crying and crying and crying. And finally, Grandpa Eddie came to her and said, do you want me to take you home? Now, 2 in the morning, and he's got about a 35, 40-minute drive to where my mom lives, and she's like, yeah, I really want to go home. And she said he was the kindest man, driving her home at 2 in the morning, just letting her know he's not mad at her, she's not in trouble, don't worry about it. And said that for years afterwards, every time he saw her, he let her know that she was welcome to stay at his house again, and it wouldn't be a problem. And if I got to take you home in the middle of the night, I will again.
That's
And
cool.
she just said that's how he was with kids. Everything he did around kids was genuine and was about the comfort of the children.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now,
That's
on the
so
other
cool.
side of our family,
It's,
a different approach.
you know, the last part of this, we kind of get more into, or at least you bring up the stadium tour, you know, the baseball stadium tour thing. A couple of years into this project, Tim and I decided, hey, you know, we don't know exactly when your last stadium was going to be, and we thought we were going to finish writing this way earlier than we did. So we're like, well, let's get a baseball game in that's a new stadium for both of us. And then, you know, we continued writing this and just rewriting it and trying to figure out direction a couple of times for another year. And so we did get to your last stadium,
That's right.
which was Baltimore. And I
Yeah.
had never been to Baltimore either. Both of those times, Brian was there with us, as well as Dan Sears, who was, on the podcast a lot earlier.
Way earlier than me, yes.
There's a reason. I thought I might regret having him here, and sometimes he proves me right. Yeah, Dan on before me. That's bullshit.
But yeah, that, well, first of all, absolute blast. We'll get into some of that stuff at a later episode, as far as just the how those days were. But you say this in the blog, and I it sure sounds like it. It sounds like Grandpa Eddie would absolutely love hearing about this entire stadium tour and all the different stadiums. What do you think he would say? Like, what would he want to know? What questions would he ask? And what stories would you tell him?
I think he'd have been fascinated about what the stadiums looked like. Like, that's what I enjoyed, going to so many different places. And he would ask about things like, well, for example, Fenway has the Green Monster.
Right.
If we talked about that, he would right away jump right to that and go, "What does it look like? Like, what side were you on? You know, does it look as tall as it is on TV?" And I think he would just enjoy hearing me talk about whatever I wanted to talk about with him. I mean, that's the cool thing about him, is he would just want to hear what you had to say about it. But he would also know players on the teams and want to talk about who pitched, and what was the score, and did you get to see a home run? You know, that kind of stuff. I really think he would have enjoyed that. Like, it wouldn't have just been, "Oh, you went to Shea Stadium. That's nice. How was New York? Okay, let's move on to something else." He would have dug into it, asked about the game and any particular plays, and were there any Tigers fans there? You know, like that kind of stuff. He would have enjoyed it. And, grandpas aren't around forever, obviously, but if he was, and I was doing something like Milwaukee, I bet I would have found a way to go to something close, where I could have got Grandpa to go to one of them with me, which would have been great.
A decade ago, when I went on my little Arizona, like West Coast trip, when I was in Arizona, I made sure to take my great uncle to a Suns game for a similar
Okay.
reason, because he and I he was like a kind of like a grandfather to me. But in Arizona, living in Arizona, me growing up with the 90s Bulls, he'd always write me letters with his predictions of the Suns beating the Bulls in the finals, in six games, and the score predictions and everything. And so we'd have that friendly, trash talk back and forth. But so years later, when I went out there, I was like, I gotta take Bush to a Suns game, man.
Right,
And
right.
it was great.
That's
So
great.
that just reminded me of that.
Well, let me take this in this direction for just a
Yeah, go
second.
ahead.
So it's definitely not the case that I didn't go to baseball games with Grandpa, because we went to Tigers games. And specifically, he wanted to go out of his way for us to go to a couple of them in 1984 when the Tigers won the World Series. And so there was such a vibe in that stadium that year. They had this amazing start. They went 35-5 at the beginning, and you just felt it the whole time. The Tigers are going to win the World Series. Like, this is our year. Now, Cubs fans did that for 100 years and were wrong every year. But that year, though, there was this crazy vibe. And so being in that stadium and watching whoever the starting pitcher was, I think I saw Dan Petrie more than anybody. But as soon as the game started, it was just so exciting. Being there with my grandpa for that was just awesome. And he loved the game, but he also just enjoyed watching me enjoy the game. So that was part of his really fun stuff. So the reason I wanted to bring that up is, Brian, you had to go to games in 84 too. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah.
How many do you think you went to?
Not many, maybe two.
Yep.
That was just something. That whole, like you said, the vibe. I not only do I remember being around the buzz of the stadium, but also the after we won. I mean,
Oh,
the
God.
craziness that ensued, and we got a guy standing on a car that's on fire in
That's right.
downtown,
That's right.
and we're watching the news of all this, and it's like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be happy because the
Yeah.
city's on fire, but
Right.
we're still
Right.
happy, and then it made the city not look good throughout, the country, but for us it was like, hey, this is
This
just
is the
what we're
best thing. This
doing.
is what we do in Detroit. Yeah. We light shit on fire.
So
Devil's Night.
But yeah, there weren't very many. I mean, the one I absolutely remember is safety patrol, because that was a big thing in
Oh, yeah.
Michigan. If you were on safety patrol, which was the crossing guards or whatever you wanted to call it, whatever your school called it as kids, they took all of you to a baseball game, and we went in 84 for a game. So
We
it
were
was
the
just,
perfect age for them to win. Like, we were like
yeah.
11 or 12 when they won. I mean, that's the perfect age to have your favorite team win a championship. Like, you don't even understand how great life is, and you're just thrilled. Coincidence, I was just last night at my friend's house, Deneen, Chris. And we were playing, his son was there, and he said, "Hey, do you want to play some pool?" So we go downstairs and play pool. It's his dad's pool table. It's a little more beat up now. But Chris and I were talking last night that we were actually in his parents' basement playing pool on that table when the Tigers won the World Series. Like, Mike, you and I have talked about where we were when the Cubs won. We've
Right.
exhausted that conversation. But Chris and I were playing pool watching that last game. And then his parents let us, after the game was over, get on our bikes and ride up to Telegraph Road, which is not a very long ride. It's just a couple of blocks, and just kind of witness what was going on. People were shooting guns and like tearing up
Yep.
lawns. And Chris and I are like, "Do you think our parents would want us to go home?" And there's another gunshot, and he's like, "Yeah, we should probably go home."
Oh man. So back to the stadium tour. Brian, do you have any memories from we went to a Phillies game and an Orioles game between the three of us and Dan Sears. Any particular things you remembered about those?
The Baltimore game was a lot of fun because Camden just was, to me, it was a throwback stadium. It
Yeah.
just, the way it looks,
It's
they
so
built
pretty.
it. Yeah. And it seems like they took a combination of several of the old stadiums. I saw a lot of Tiger Stadium architecture in there and loved it because, as a Detroit person, and you look at Comerica Park now, it didn't highlight too much. In my mind, Tiger Stadium when they built it, but it's fresh, it's new, everybody's happy. But Camden Yards, just walking around the architecture of it, the city around it was so much fun. And when they brought out their closer,
Oh, that
and
was incredible.
so back in the day with the lighting at stadiums and such, if you shut them off, you couldn't turn them back on for 5 to 10 minutes because it
That's
had to
right.
cool down to. So you couldn't do things like they
Right.
do now with these digital lights, and they shut the lights off in the stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa,
Dude, I got
So,
chills watching that.
yeah.
And now this is Baltimore is the hometown, so they know this is coming in the crowd. Got so hyped, and I didn't know it was coming. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, the crowd participation in that game was on, and Baltimore was winning. So, and then Phillies, I still have my bobblehead of Bryce Young or Bryce Harper, Bryce Young, Bryce Harper. And it was actually the first time you and I met, Mike.
That's right. That's
That
right in
sounds.
person. I think we talked a little bit before that, hadn't we? I don't
No.
know. I don't remember. Oh yeah. Well.
No, it was a, Tim's like, "Hey, I've got this student of mine who is gonna come to," and I'm just like, okay, and I really didn't know Dan that well either at the time. It was I kind of jumped in on the golf trip that added the stadiums to it, and yeah, so it ended up where you stayed and Dan and I are bunking up together in a different hotel room, and it's like, I don't know what to say to you, so I'm going to sit here and drink this vodka until I pass out. And mission accomplished. So,
Indeed.
but no, that was the first time going on the golf trip with these guys. And I'm a big Kyle Schwarber fan also. And Tim bought that God, that beautiful Phillies jersey, the light blue one, and got that with Schwarber's name on it. I remember that. And just a good time overall.
So I have a couple of quick stories of both regarding closers. So, well, maybe not so much a story for Baltimore, but I mean that is very, I mean, the professional wrestling entrance that they're doing with a lot of them now. I mean, with the lighting and the music, and like soon as he came out, the crowd just roars, even though they knew he was coming. That was cool. Also, Felix Batista is a monster of a human being. He was very tall and powerful, so it was just a little intimidating to see him walk out there. You're like, holy cow.
I mean, who wants to go up to the plate after that? You
Right.
know, hey, coach, do you need a pinch hitter? If you need to put somebody in, I'm fine with it.
So then for the Phillies, I remember we were on our way out in the top of the ninth. Phillies were up and they had their closer. I don't remember who their closer was at that point, but we were almost directly center field because that's where we were going to leave through, but we wanted to watch the end of the game from there. And it was the last at bat, and every pitch that the Phillies closer threw, as soon as the catcher would catch it, Tim would go, "Oh, great pitch!" Every time.
They were
Every
great
single pitch.
pitches.
"Oh, what a pitch!" Every single time. Even if it's like, "Oh, that was a ball." "Oh, nice pitch!" Like, and I was standing just in front of you, and I just started cracking up. But they did win that. I was also like, I was pleasantly surprised by how tame, I guess, the Philly crowd was. Not like they were into it. They were all very excited. It was a great crowd, but we all kind of went into it thinking like, are we gonna have to
We're
fight
in
our way out
Philly.
of
That's
here?
right. That's right.
Yeah, and I mean there are kids running around and everything, and everything was just fine. It's like, oh, this is not that bad. And it was a blast. And
Well, we also had to stick around for like 20 minutes because Tim had to go pick up the jersey.
Oh,
that's
right.
right.
They
'Cause
had to
he
sew
got Schwarber on there.
they
Yeah, that's right.
yeah. I mean, like I said, beautiful jersey, but at one point I was like, fuck this jersey, man. Let's go.
So when we were down there, and I remember, Kyle Schwarber had just joined the Phillies that year, and I was looking because I got a Schwarber jersey too, is the white with the red pinstripes. And at first, I was looking at that, and I remember seeing like a dad with this kind of like younger son was showing him the Schwarber jersey, and the kid was kind of like, ugh, gave it a look of like disgust, like, why would I want a Schwarber jersey? Because he hadn't done anything for the Phillies yet, so he had never heard of the guy. And I was like, oh, if you only knew, kid.
Yeah, give that some time.
So I looked at, you and I both looked at that, and then we came back, and you were looking at the custom thing to just get whatever jersey you want. And I showed you how it worked, and you were looking at it, and then you kind of went, "Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna do it." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna go see. I think I'm gonna go get this jersey over here." So I walk over to get the jersey that I wanted, find my size, I find it, I turn back, and I look across the store, the team store, and there you are punching in your information in the machine.
Yeah, you weren't
Like,
buying a
yep,
jersey
there it
by
is.
yourself. Yeah.
But yeah, you got. I think it's a pro. I like the one I got, and I like that you got the one that you got with the light blue with kind of the red trim. Brian's right. That is a slick looking jersey.
1980. I think that was a 1980 look. They had a cool
Yeah.
team. They had a cool team back then.
Oh, that was oh, we did we did. I was trying to remember that trip, what other stadiums we went to, but that was when we went into New York too, right? Okay.
I
And you,
remember,
Wilden, you weren't
yeah.
with us for that.
Well,
Yeah, he
no,
was
but
there for the one.
I remember texting you guys like, make sure to pay attention if Diaz comes out, because
Yeah,
that was,
right.
yeah. Did he end up coming out? I can't remember if he's
No, he was
no.
hurt. He was hurt.
Oh,
And it wasn't a close
that's
game anyway.
disappointing.
Yeah.
That's disappointing. Before we wrap this up here, kind of bringing it back to Baltimore, you're standing there and you're thinking a lot about, your grandpa. And you said you would beforehand, and we all knew you were as it was happening. What were you thinking about? I know you kind of write a little bit about this in the blog, but like, just to tell us what's on your mind at that point in time as you're looking around just silently, just thinking about Grandpa Eddie and at your last stadium on the list.
It was a cool reflective moment. It was pretty short, kind of in between innings. I was sitting, the four of us were there together, and I was all the way on the right. And so I was just kind of looking toward the right, towards home plate. We were on the third base side there. And I was just kind of, it was a cool moment because it was the last stadium. You know, there was that feel like a 20 or 20 year journey was over, you know. And then
Yeah.
also just thinking about the origin of it and, you know, thinking that Grandpa would love to hear about it and it'd be really cool if he would have been here or, you know, stuff like that. And then just hearing the word Timbo kind of echo around in my head, and not really even like thinking about playing catch with him, like thinking about being in Northern Michigan and have him yell, bellow out, Timbo, you know, we're gonna get in the car or whatever. So it was real quick and it was a real nice feeling. Like what we're doing here today is pretty damn cool. And, you know, just kind of did like a little cheers to my grandpa in my head and, you know, moved on to the sixth inning or whatever. So,
Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
hey, cheers, cheers to him right now.
Yeah. Cheers to grandpa.
Once again, Tim, thanks for being so vulnerable with this. You know, this was kind of your this is the big one for you, and it was very good. Brian, thanks for coming on again. Glad you could be here for this.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Let's move on to the close
Let's
of the
go part
episode here.
three. That's right.
Hey, thanks again to Brian Larson for being here. By the way, you guys can catch him on the BTP Movie Club that we do together, and the Comics Corner podcast. That's comics with an X at the end. He just reviews the world of comic books every week. You know what's coming out, what he's reading. With
Danny
Danny
P.
P is the other guy he does that
Pilar and
with.
Danny P. He loves doing that. He loves doing that. So I'm happy for him that he's found something he's really passionate about.
Yeah, he does, and he does a good job with it.
He sure does.
And it's, you know, I have been collecting some comics for the last few years or so, and so it's been good to listen to. I mean, I've tried a few different comic book podcasts. It's been kind of hard to find like one to stick with, but this one, his podcast legitimately has been very good.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I don't know as much about it, so some of my eyes go a little foggy when they start talking about different comics, but I have picked up a couple and started reading a couple just as a result of tuning in. So, yeah, check them out on Comics Corner with B-Lar and Danny P.
Which is part of the SPDM
Yeah,
crew.
want to make sure we remember to say that.
Yes.
Shout out to Mike Hilty once again. We're coming to the end of this, Mike. The next thing coming up will be blog episode number 22. I don't have a name for it. This one will be mine again. This is the penultimate pondering, if I may use that phrase. I'll be wrapping up my reflection on this whole 15 years later adventure that we've gone on. And so you guys can look forward to reading that. And then Mike will have his reflection on the whole thing, and that'll be the end of our tour here with 15 years later. We're coming to the
Yeah.
end.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. We'll
Yeah.
get more into that later. But just so you guys know, and we'll say this again in the next podcast as well, but we're looking to do something kind of special with our last episode. We're not sure if we'll be able to pull it off or not, but we're gonna try. But that's gonna require us to kind of be a little more flexible with scheduling. So the final podcast, not the next one, but the last podcast that comes out may come out like a week late or so,
Yeah.
just if we
For
can, you know, it
logistics
depends
reasons
on,
alone.
yes, just to let you guys know. But thank you guys for for coming along on this ride with us this far. You know, this is Timbo was the last real, like, I don't want to say themed, but it was the last one where we really have a subject. The next two we're talking about this whole experience you and I have been on, you know, together over the last year and over the last 4 years. So, but yeah, that was the last one. I don't think we could have picked a better one to really close out the bar story section
Yeah,
of
I certainly feel real good about it. You know, a very personal connection to that. Can't think about baseball without thinking about my grandpa. I just can't do it. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
it's good to put that exclamation point on my part of the story for that.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed seeing just another side of you as we were, editing that and just, just talking about it. That was really cool, Tim.
Yeah, once again, cheers all around. Cheers all around. So
Absolutely.
I don't know if we need to keep saying this when we're wrapping it up, but if you want, you can read our blogs at 15-years-later.com. That's a numerical 15 with a hyphen, 15-years-later.com.
And you can find us on Instagram at 15 Years Later Official. You can also email us at 15 Years Later Official at gmail.com. Go ahead, let us know your thoughts, comments, questions. If you just want to make fun of us to our faces in print form, whatever you want to do. Yeah, get a hold of us, email us. But at the very least, go read the blog and stay tuned for the our last couple of podcasts.
Yeah, thanks once again, everybody, for hanging out with us, and have yourselves a great week.
Take care, everybody. Thanks again.